This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of WorldSweeper.com, and I'm speaking today with Richard Arlington III, who is a business manager for Affiliated Grounds Maintenance Group located in the Greater Erie, Pennsylvania area. Welcome, Richard.
Welcome.
Glad to have you on the line to talk about Affiliated. I know in general what the third-party vendor movement is and the kinds of things that people should look for and the way your business operates and those kinds of things. It's a topic that I know a lot of people have interest in the sweeping profession. We're seeing more and more third-party vendors or aggregators, some people call them, coming into different markets and having different national and regional accounts, and it is changing the face of power sweeping and general exterior maintenance as a whole, there's no question. If you would start out by telling the listeners a bit about Affiliated Grounds Maintenance Group and you know, how you got going with it. You have an interesting background, and I think that deserves to be the foundation of our conversation.
Very good. Basically, Affiliated Grounds Maintenance Group was founded about 12 years ago. And it was created out of exactly what you're talking about. We had a national service provider that came into Erie and won some of our accounts and had contacted our local company to do the work. Through the course of some strategic planning and deciding what we were going to do with that, we decided that we could either work for a national company or become one. We decided to go down the road of trying to become one, because if that failed, we could always go back to working for one. And as that company built itself, we started with our geographical areas, meaning Buffalo, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and developed a great reputation with clients that in turn moved us to other cities and other states throughout the course of 12 years. Where today we're currently in 31 different states and over 150 different cities. So that's basically, we came from a contractor background and built a national presence.
And your background as a sweeping contractor must stand you in pretty good stead in terms of knowing what will and will not work in terms of other people that you utilize around the country that you operate in, I would think.
Yes, and it's given us a lot of insight into what some of the contractors are faced with as far as operationally or structurally and, you know, maintaining profit margins and figuring out different efficiencies. And just so we're clear, our company currently still runs three sweepers every night locally. So not only are we managing the national presence, but we're also still doing it today, which gives us a lot of insight into dealing with our contractors around the country.
Well, a few questions that I know have come up in terms of how third-party aggregation operates. I know, and please clarify any of this, I think I know that one of the big sells to a large national or regional chain is that it costs a lot for them to deal with separate contractors in their various regions in terms of local stores, writing local checks, and having checks and balances on contractors and those kinds of things. So you can see where that would be certainly be a sell for your service. On the other hand, I've also heard some stories about being required to put post-it notes or have a signed post-it note for every service that you do, which is, you know, some contractors think of as being very onerous, and other discounting schemes that are out there that are difficult as well to swallow for contractors. So if you could talk about kind of what the model is, what makes it profitable for somebody to become a client of yours instead of having the low bid, competitively bid in their area, instead have that done on a regional, quasi-national basis, and then what kind of economies of scale do you bring to the table that allows you to get in the middle there?
Well, that is the million-dollar question that's out there today as a contractor. You are correct that the sales point to the end user is the streamlining of the process. Just like we've noticed over the last 10 years that more and more people are going to software systems or computerized technology to streamline their internal processes, you obviously can't have a computer sweep your parking lot. So they, in turn, are looking to outsource the management process to cover all bases of exterior maintenance. And this all really got started back in 1978 in the landscape maintenance industry. And as that developed, then you started to see it take hold in the janitorial and the pressure washing and the lot sweeping. And now it's even coming over into the snow industry, because it is a model that works for the end user customer on a, we'll call it a bean counter basis, because it does save them money, even though they may still be paying the same amount for the work being done. They save the internal costs. Now, being a national service provider myself and being in that arena, I also have a consulting business. So I'm working with end users all the time on streamlining their process and writing RFPs and working those different angles. And we find that there's a lot of unscrupulous business practices that happen. And you're going to have that in any industry. It doesn't matter what it is. I always tell contractors that if they look inside their own market, you will find 80% of the contractors do okay work, 10% do bad work, and 10% do great work. And you have the same presence on the national side. You're going to have the majority of us doing okay. You're going to have some that are great. And you're going to have some that just do things that aren't right. And with relation to the post-it notes or the service tickets, I can only speak what our company does. And we only pass along contract requirements that the customer requires. So if we have a contract with a big box retailer and they don't require service slips, then we don't ask the contractor to provide them either. So, you know, there again, it goes back to the streamlining of the process. So when you look inside the national service provider, if they've streamlined their process and they have a certain compliance that has to be done because that's their policy, then that's all explained in the contract long before the contractor signs it. So it's kind of hard to complain about something after you accepted it.
Well, there's certainly wisdom in that. How about cash flow payments? That's another thing that comes up is, you know, everything's fine as long as you get paid, but, you know, is... In your system, is payment contingent on you know, your cash flow from your vendor, or is it your responsibility to collect those payments? What kind of time frame are you agreeing to pay your providers?
Well, I would say that, again, that would be something that would be spelled out in a contract, and contractors need to review and understand what they're signing. But yes, as far as anything goes, nobody's going to pay until they get paid. However, that being said, for 98% of every invoice that crosses my desk, they're paid in less than 25 days. So there's no reason whatsoever that these contractors should be waiting and waiting and waiting. Because I know from my clients that most of them pay within 15 to 30 days. So to ask a contractor to wait 60 is ridiculous.
Well, I couldn't agree more. One thing I hear from the contractor community as well is that an aggregator will come into a business area with a, you know, a handful of box stores or whatever it is that they have in that area and insist on a certain percentage reduction in sweeping service price or, you know, whatever the service is that's being addressed. Is that something that that you do or that you think should be done? Now, and I'll just give a little more background on this. To me, it seems as though when you're in a local area dealing with, and the same box store is dealing with local contractors bidding on a low bid basis, that there probably or oftentimes is not another 10% that is margin that's sitting there waiting that didn't get bid down, and that it's, in many cases, I believe it would be unrealistic, or it would appear that it would be unrealistic, that you would come into a long-standing competitive bid situation and be able to arbitrarily drop it another X percent. Go ahead, please.
That brings up a very interesting balloon. When I work with the clients or the end users as a consultant, they have the same exact complaint, but theirs is based on the scope of work. What they're saying is, you know, look, we have the same contractor that we had before, but now the work's not getting done like it used to. You know, what is wrong? And I think, quite frankly, that the pressure to reduce costs, is driving contractors to have to nickel and dime the scope of work. They get to a point where they have to cut corners to maintain profit margins. And as a contractor myself, I understand how sometimes you have to do that. But again, I would go back and say, if you have a scope of work, and if you are going to be a professional sweeping company and follow the scope of work, and you do not agree with the price the national service provider is asking you to do it for, then either negotiate the job or say no. Now, that being said, Affiliated Grounds Maintenance Group runs a different business model. We do not set pricing. We always reach out to our contractors, ask them for their price, and then we add our management fee to that price, and that's how we submit it to the customer. We do not try and lowball jobs and then go find a contractor that can do it for that price. And this has bred us to have a very good reputation in the marketplace. We have very satisfied customers because the contractor is getting paid what they bid it at. They're following the scope of work. And the customer approved the price when they issued us the contract. So everybody wins in our business model. We're not constantly trying to drive down pricing. And that's probably the biggest difference with our company versus the other nationals that are out there.
Well, that's a good response. There's another. I've heard from contractors who have dealt with some third-party vendors that they know, or at least they believe they know, that they submitted a bid and then the bids are shared with other contractors. In other words, Acme Sweeping bid $75 a sweep, Bill Sweeping bid $65 a sweep. So you go back to Acme and say, well, here, look, what Bill's doing it for $65. If you do it for $60, it's yours, that kind of thing.
And then that process just keeps getting repeated.
And it just goes back and forth. So do you have confidentiality of your bids between your contractors?
Absolutely. That is one thing that we do not do. We do not promote that. Matter of fact, we have some contractors that have worked for us for years that don't understand why somebody else got a job right next to where they're doing something for us, too. And we go through a bidding process and an RFP process, and the person that provided the best price that we were confident could do the work is the one who gets the job. I do know what you're talking about. I have, again, through my consulting business, I hear a lot of the same thing. But I will go back to an earlier answer. There's a certain percentage of even the NSPs that have bad business practices.
Well, I believe that's correct from the stories I've heard. And I must say, and I said this offline before we started our recording, I have not heard a negative against affiliated grounds maintenance group. So that I'm sure anybody that does business, you know, has a difficulty pleasing everyone. But I think it is certainly in your favor that AGMG has you know, not been the focal point for the complaints that I've heard about.
Well, one thing about our company that we like to brag about is we have a very high retention rate in contractors. Currently in 12 years, we've only lost 5, and most of them were through death, retirement, or sale of their business. So our contractors stay with us long term, and in today's environment of the national service provider, that goes a long way to saying the integrity that our company has. And when contractors tell me that all the time, they say, who are you? I've never heard of you. And my response is always the same. Bad news travels faster than good news. And if you've never heard of us, is that a bad thing? And I'll tell people with today's internet, go on Google, type in the name Affiliated Grounds Maintenance Group, read everything you can find, and when you find something bad, call me back.
Well, I think that's a very appropriate thing to do, because certainly you can do that, and I would encourage all the contractors listening to this to do that very thing when they are approached by a third-party aggregator, and you'll be amazed at what you learn.
You have to do your research on who you're getting into business with. And, you know, no different than if you were dealing with a one-on-one client. If you knew that client was having financial trouble and other vendors in your market weren't getting paid, would you work for them? Probably not. But it's funny that on the national side, contractors don't do enough homework. They don't do enough research. And they really should make that a priority to know who they're going to get into business with. Whether it be, you know, a national service provider, a regional service provider, or even a regular customer in their own market, I would still research them. And the internet's a beautiful thing for that, because everything is posted online at some point. And if you just read it, you'll find out where they're at.
That's exactly right. It's an information age that can be very helpful for anybody that's trying to do business and trying to check on other people. And, of course, there's also Better Business Bureau listings, Chamber of Commerce listings, and those kinds of things that can also be enormously helpful before you make a decision to work with anyone.
Absolutely.
That's something that you may well want to do with any large client as well, and see what kind of, you know, be sure to check those references that are given out and not just figure, well, they gave me references, so they must be good.
Well, you know, I always tell clients when they ask me for a reference list, I tell them, I'll be more than happy to provide you with a reference list, but do you really think I'm going to put somebody bad on there?
Right.
So reference lists are just that. They're going to be all good references.
Yes, that's exactly right. I couldn't agree more. Are there other things that you think we should be talking about? Are there, no doubt you're in this business, are there questions that you believe should be asked of a third-party aggregator before you get into business with them? Of course, read your contract, and if you don't understand all of it, take it to your attorney.
Yeah, it's much better to pay $200 to have somebody review your contract and know what you're doing than to lose thousands of dollars because you didn't get paid. The biggest thing that we've sort of touched on, but we haven't touched on, that I would give as information to your readers and the people listening to this conversation is, in today's trends and today's marketplace, oftentimes we as contractors feel that we provide something that we don't. And where I'm going with that is, snow plowing is an emergency service. Lot sweeping is a waste management service, if you will. But in today's corporate America, it's a line item on a budget. And anything they can do to reduce that line item, they're being empowered to do, because everybody's trying to tighten up their belts. Everybody's leaning out their companies. And as contractors, we need to look at that ourselves. We need to look at where we're wasting our dollars so that we can become more price competitive and still maintain profit margins. And again, that's a benefit of working with Affiliated Grounds, because we have real people who have really done the work that work with our contractors. So we will help them become more efficient. We will train them on better office procedures to streamline processes. We will do whatever we have to do, barring actually physically doing the work for them, to help them grow their business and keep their profit margins, even though the constant pressure is being driven down. Because there is certain amounts of waste that we all have that we just need to trim out of our companies. And that's probably the biggest advice I can give to contractors. The trend's not going to go away. As a matter of fact, the biggest retailer in the country just went national last year. So it's going to continue. You know, you're starting to see C-chain stores do it now. You're starting to see restaurant chains do it now. We even see gas stations doing it now. So the trend is going to continue, and it's just like anything else. In the 80s, a computer cost you $3,000. Now, if you pay attention, you can find them for $300. And they're a million times faster than they were in 1985. So you're going to see that, and we call it, they're turning our industry into a commodity. And, you know, we have the new trend of reverse auctions, which is, in my opinion, just suicide. Because you get 10 people on there and everybody just keeps dropping their price till there's only one left. And, you know, I don't know how that's going to be good for any industry. But it is something we have to deal with.
Well, there are a lot of new factors that the Internet has brought out in terms of flattening the world and making information generally available to all. I remember reading 10 years ago that there would be two classes of people going forth into the future. One would be the people without the Internet, which would be doing the low-level menial jobs, and the others would all have Internet access. And as we move toward more and more availability of information, whether it's the weather and the news or to immediate reference and those kinds of things about any company, it's not like that's going to be going away anytime soon. And you're right, we need to key in on all of the economies of scale that can be brought up, all of the efficiencies that we can think about, and structure the businesses that way.
And, you know, the contractor should start, you know, using this business model in their own business. If the end user is capitalizing on national service providers to reduce overall costs, and the national service providers are trying to capitalize on market share to reduce their costs, then local contractors should start negotiating with their suppliers to reduce their costs. It won't be the first time anybody's ever done that. I mean, everything out there can be negotiated. Sometimes contractors just think that, you know, this is the first and final offer, and that's not necessarily true. I've negotiated my insurance costs. I've negotiated the price of a new truck. I've negotiated my bark mulch. I mean, everything is negotiable, and there's always ways to save money.
Well, I think that's very good advice. Any closing thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Again, I would reiterate the importance of knowing the contract you're signing. And I would also say do your research and please make sure you know who you're going into business with. Don't just jump in because they're offering you a certain dollar amount that you think will help your business, when in essence, down the road, it may hurt your business.
I think that's excellent advice to leave everyone with. We've been speaking with Richard Arlington III. He's business manager for the Affiliated Grounds Maintenance Group. They're a services aggregator, third-party vendor representing regional and national clients, and they're located in Erie, Pennsylvania. Thanks again, Richard.
Thank you.